This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طسم. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. نتلو عليك من نبأ موسى وفرعون بالحق لقوم يؤمنون. صدق الله العظيم. So alhamdulillah, we meet once again on the forum and on the platform of Tafsir. And as always, I invite and welcome our brothers, our sisters, our listeners, and our viewers to remain connected as we embark and explore yet another chapter of the Quran. This time it is Surah Qasas. Qasas meaning story, tale, narrative. Where does it appear in the Quran? In Juz 20, chapter 28, comprising of how many verses? 88 verses. It is a Makkiyah chapter, meaning revealed before migration. A great chunk of this chapter deals with the story, the narrative, the tale of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. We had discussed this to a certain extent in Surah Taha chapter 20. In fact, another name of that chapter is Surah Kaleem because it covers in great detail the story of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. But from a different angle and different dimensions, we will be touching again on the story of Musa alayhi salam. And to the tail end of this chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes it with the story of Qarun, his arrogance, his haughtiness, and how the earth had swallowed him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. That being said, as the introductory comments to this chapter, let's go ahead and commence. Join along, stay focused, and appreciate each verse of the Quran is rich, is profound, is voluminous, and can revolutionize our lives. Yes, indeed. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Taasim Mim. Huruf Muqatta'at. Huruf Muqatta'at. These words of the Quran are mysterious, are allegorical. Tanbihan ala i'jaz al-Quran. Indicating to us that the Quran is mu'jiz. It is beyond our grasp. The knowledge of this is known to Allah alone. هذا مختاره المحققون من المفسرين. This is the preferred opinion of the experts on the exegesis of the Quran. Verse number 2. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. These are the verses of a clear book. So we have the word tilka. Basic Arabic will indicate to you that tilka is used to denote something at a distance, just like for a feminine noun. Dhalika is also used to denote something at a distance. The second chapter of the Quran, Allah says, Dhalika al-kitab, that book. Though the book is before you, and this is mentioned in the Hashia of Jalalain, that in the context of the Arabic language, sometimes the expression of a noun indicating something at a distance is to impress the importance, the merit, and the significance. Yes, tilka ayhadhihi surah, this chapter that we will be discussing now, unpacking, elucidating, and exploring, ayat are the verses, ayatul kitab al-mubin, of a clear book. Abana yubinu ibana. This verse, this chapter, this Quran is clear-cut. Clear-cut in which regard? In all regards. In explaining the permissible from the impermissible, the lawful from the unlawful, the abode of those that obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the consequences of those that disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. It is clear-cut. These are the verses of a clear book. Verse number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the tale, the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And look at how amazing Allah opens the discussion. نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِن نَبَئِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ نَتْلُوا, we recite to you. أَيْ يَقْرَأُهُ جِبْرِيلُ بِأَمْرِنَا يَقْرَأُهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِأَمْرِنَا We recite it to you, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam recites it to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ بِالْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam comes with revelation. And so Jibreel recites it to you. نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ, verbatim translation, we recite it to you. مِنْ نَبَئِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ, from the story, the tale, min khabr, from the information of Musa and Fir'aun. Arabic grammar, basic here, min comes for tab'eedh. Tab'eedh means a portion, an extract, meaning it's not going to encompass and encapsulate all aspects of the tale of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, but yes, indeed, it will touch on certain aspects of the life of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Min naba'i Musa wa Fir'aun. And remember, if you recall, my brother and my sister, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the discussion of Sayyidina Musa in chapter 20, Surah Taha, Allah said, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. And have you perchance heard, been informed, received, are you acquainted with the story of Musa alayhi salam? And the scholars say, al-istifham lit-tashweeq, shawwaqa yushawwiqu tashweeq. The question here is to stimulate, passion for it, to excite you, to intrigue you, to capture you, to attract you. Do you know? Well, you need to know. Have you heard? Well, you better discover. Meaning this is something you cannot stay without because it's so rich. It's so fulfilling. Natlu alayk, we recite to you, meaning Jibreel recites to you. Min naba'i Musa, from the story, the tale, the narrative of Musa, wa Fir'aun and Pharaoh. So Pharaoh was the title of the person who governed over Egypt. Just like Tubba' was the title of those who governed over Yemen. Li kathrati atba'ihi, because he had multitudes of followers. This is mentioned in the Hasha of Jalalain. And then, of course, Najashi was the title afforded to someone who governed over Africa. And the Najashi that the Quran speaks about, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ, his name was Ashamah. Ashamah, this is mentioned by the scholars as well. So we narrate to you the story, the tale, the narrative of Musa and Harun bilhaq, with absolute truth, with absolute truth. Whatever Allah tells you is free from exaggeration. Humans, you got to take it with a pinch of salt. That's why it's one thing I've learned in life. If I have to give somebody recommendation about food, I will tell them it's something that I fancied or something I enjoyed. Rather, tell them it's mediocre. And then they indulge in it and they find it to be above standard and they are in for a surprise. Then to elevate it and tantalize them and say, listen, you need to eat this. This is sumptuous. This is finger licking, or have this dessert. It's decadent. And subsequently, when he eats it, he finds it to be of average or mediocre level. So rather tell people it's average and then each one can make his conclusion. The point I'm saying is humans, really, are they accurate? They always exaggerate things. And that's the same opinion about people. If someone's been kind to you, then, oh, this guy is like, you know what, an angel in a human form. And if somebody, you had a fallout with him, and you could be the guilty party, you could be the guilty party, but because he stood his grounds and he was principled, and I have had encounters like this, friendship is ruined because you were just, because you were fair, because you were frank, because you were candid. So then this guy is a devil in a human's form. So humans really are accurate in their stories. They sometimes sensationalize it. Sometimes they bias, sometimes they flavor it. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you is the absolute truth. Yes, we narrate to you the story of the people of the cave, bilhaq, with the absolute truth. So, نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِن نَبَئِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. It is an instruction for the people who believe. لِأَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُنْتَفِعُونَ بِذَلِكَ. Is it only for those that believe? Is it not for the disbelievers? No, it's out there for everyone. But it is the believing nation that would heed the call. Either those that are believers now, or Maya'ul, Hukman, those who will become believers, they will benefit, they will change their life, they will implement the message. So the message is there for everyone. Sometimes you find a person, he's an erudite scholar, he's learned, he has great skill, and the world will benefit. But his immediate neighborhood, those in his precincts, his children, those sharing the same roof, they don't really value him or appreciate the knowledge that he has. So people from far and wide would come to sit in his discourses and benefit, but those close by would be deprived because they don't appreciate the knowledge that he possesses. So the Quran, by rule, is a guidance for all, hudal linnas. But at times it says hudal lil muttaqin or liqawmin yu'minun, liqawmin ya'lamun. It is for people who listen, who obey, meaning they are the people who will benefit, who will benefit. Okay, so that's three verses. What's the fourth verse of this chapter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna fir'auna ala fil ard. Verily Pharaoh elevated himself on land. Ala. Land here meaning Egypt. This is where he ruled and governed. And this is where he had power, muscle, and clout. So he was arrogant. He was haughty. He was boastful. And of course, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises arrogance and pride. This is something that is detestable, deplorable, and despicable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Allah doesn't like the proud and the boastful. And the linguists tell us that the distinction between mukhtal and fakhur is that the former speaks about people who are proud on internal beauty. Person's got intellect, his IQ is good, he's smart, he's wise, he's calculated, his memory is amazing. While fakhur refers to people who have external excellency. Probably he's handsome, she's beautiful, he has prominence, he has following, he has wealth, he has clout. So whether you are proud on your internal things or your external, pride in any form, shape or size is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we say things, there's a fine line between being grateful to Allah and being proud. If the undertone is claiming, that I'm entitled or it's my own skill and it's my own competence, then of course that is pride. That is pride. But if we are directing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is tahdith bin ni'mah. Tahdith bin ni'mah is the expression of the bounty of Allah. Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. And as for the bounties of Allah, speak about it. But the definition of pride, the scholars say, is that a person considers himself deserving of what he has. While humility is, you say to yourself, I am not deserving. Now, sometimes superficially, outwardly, apparently we say this here, but in reality, we mean otherwise. So that's not correct. That is not correct. From the heart, we must say and believe, I am not deserving. I'm not eligible for these bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His grace. Okay, so we have verse number 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna fir'auna ala fil ard. Verily, Pharaoh elevated himself. Allah elevates. Who are you to elevate yourself? تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. A verse of the tail end of this very chapter. That abode of Akhira, it is for those who don't want prominence in this world or who do not want, this pride and arrogance and mischief on the earth. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. Verily Pharaoh elevated himself. What was this elevation? وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. And he divided its residents into different groups. Shia'a is the plural of the word Shi'atun. And of course, we're talking of Egypt here. So he made them into different groups and different castes. And unfortunately, many a times this still continues, where you see there is preferential treatment for a particular caste, a particular creed, a particular ethnicity, and others are viewed or perceived to be subhumans of a substandard, and they are dealt with in a different way. May Allah protect us from that. May Allah protect us. May Allah grant us the ability. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah adhhab ankum nakhwa al-jahiliyyah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed and removed from you people this prejudice and this racism of the days of darkness and the days of ignorance. Humans are equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humans are equal in the eyes. Yes, if there's anything that elevates a human, it's taqwa. Often we say this verbally, but our action, the way we deal, the way we interact, the way we behave is of a very different level. So as we move along, it is easy to frown on the arrogance of Pharaoh, but those in my employment, or those over whom Allah has given me some form of authority, do I dignify them and treat them as humans, understanding that that is a mother of someone, that's a father of someone, that is a sibling to someone? وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. And Pharaoh had divided the people of Egypt into groups. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ, oppressing a group from amongst them. Considering them to be low, to considering them to be insignificant. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ, slaughtering cold-bloodedly, mercilessly, the male offspring from amongst them. وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ, and leaving their women folk alive. Not out of kindness or goodness, but because they did not pose any threat to his empire. So we do know that Pharaoh had a dream. And this dream was interpreted as, يُولَدُ مَوْلُودٌ يَذْهَبُ مُلْكُكَ عَلَى يَدِهِ. A child will be born, and you will lose your empire, your kingdom, your throne, your dominion, your leadership at his hands. And of course, that was the end of happiness in the life of Fir'aun. وَقَامَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَقَعَدَ وَبَرَقَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَرَعَدَ. Yes, those are the words of Allama Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi. Fir'aun was in panic, anxiety. He lost his sanity. He became insomniac. He couldn't sleep. Wait, hang on, I'm going to lose my empire. And so he decided to halt this plan foolishly, naively. So what did he say? Well, let's put an end to every child that is born. رُوِيَ أَنَّهُ قَتَلَ تِسْعِينَ أَلْفًا. رُوِيَ أَنَّهُ قَتَلَ تِسْعِينَ أَلْفًا. And this is mentioned in Tanwir al-Adhan and even in Madarik. Historical narrations say, in the passion to block off the growth and the development of any child who will evolve to the point that will overthrow my kingdom, he killed mercilessly 90,000 innocent babies. You can do the maths. How many families were distraught? How many mothers were crying? How many fathers were in pain? How many families were in turmoil due to the tyranny and the oppression and the abuse of Pharaoh? So yes, innahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا, he divided people into different groups. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ, oppressing a group from amongst them. And this was, of course, the Sibti. So the Sibti was the Bani Israel, while he was the Qibti, the Coptic. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ, slaughtering the male offspring and leaving the females alive because they didn't pose any threat and he would employ their services. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Indeed, Pharaoh was from amongst the mischief makers. So this was his mischief, this was his plot, this was his evil. But subhanAllah, what was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, let's wait and see what Allah had intended, and ultimately the plan of Allah prevails. The takeaway message for today, my brother and my sister, is pride is something deplorable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who greets first, this is a sign of a clean heart. لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. Nothing is going to help you but a clean heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free us from pride. The one who has an iota of pride will not enter Jannah. So let us be the humble one, the first one to greet, the first one to apologize, so we can be the first one to hopefully enter into the mercy of Allah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.